Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja with the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast at American Muslim Community Foundation. Today we have on Rueda Abdelaziz, and she is the national reporter at HuffPost. She's been nominated as an outstanding young professional. So congratulations, Rueda, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how long have you been a journalist?
I have been a journalist for about, 6 or 7 years now. And I have specifically been working at HuffPost for the past, a little over 5 years.
That's really amazing. And, you know, it's such a well-recognized platform. So what was your journey to becoming a national reporter there?
I always had an interest in journalism ever since I was a kid. I volunteered for my high school newspaper. I remember when I was in high school, outside of the high school paper that I worked on, getting involved, and I think it was kind of like an internship at the time, but it was unpaid, just getting involved with our local paper. And I remember being really excited, going into the newsroom, sitting around this big table, and just being able to discuss and brainstorm ideas. And I'll never forget the first feeling of running to our newspaper box outside of our home and pulling out the first newspaper and ripping through all of the pages until I got to the way back, because that's where they placed the bylines of the interns. It had its own designated section. They called it the teen scene section. And catching my first byline.
That's awesome.
And I think my byline was too long. The whole Rueda Abdelaziz, it has to be broken up into three lines instead of just the one. But I was still so stoked anyway, and it was such an incredible feeling. And that was definitely when I knew that this was something that I wanted to pursue. And so I studied journalism and Middle Eastern studies when, you know, I attended university, and immediately started working in the field since I graduated.
That's awesome. And where did you go to school at?
I went to Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey, where I graduated from there. And then I had a number of internships while I was in my undergrad. I was in DC a lot, in New York City. I did some comms for, you know, the Department of Education. And my first job out of college was working for the Committee to Protect Journalists. It was an internship that converted into a position where I documented press freedom violations around the world. And I took a particular focus in their Middle East department because I am fluent in Arabic. And so that was something that helped me greatly when I graduated. Mm-hmm. And my first beat, I would say, when I first started enter journalism, was really covering foreign affairs, international news, a lot predominantly coming from the MENA area. Again, because, you know, the being bilingual really helped me in that regard. Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, that's when I pivoted to focusing on domestic affairs and more national politics.
Yeah. And, you know, through your work, you've been able to help two Yemeni men who were being held by ICE, and shedding light on their circumstances, advocating for their rights. So tell us about, you know, the power of journalism. And like, I think that's like a prime example of what journalism can do to really help people.
Absolutely. When I was working on my story, Chasing Safety, I remember I had worked on a series of stories highlighting the plight, you know, of Muslim Americans. I had been covering the Muslim travel ban extensively for the last few years. And through that, I've gotten to know a lot of people and a lot of families who were impacted by this policy. And something that's really important to me as a reporter and as a journalist is really focusing on the human impact that these are families, these are spouses, these are parents, these are our neighbors and friends who are having drastic life-changing decisions on their lives because of piece of legislation. And something like the travel ban that has been put in place for so many years, I think oftentimes people forget how policies can impact these people. And so I've really gotten to work a lot with the Yemeni community, but other members of other communities are predominantly impacted by the ban. When I was reached out by someone and I said, and they told me, Hey, I know these two Yemeni men who are currently being held by ICE, but you will not believe the journey that they took to get there. And I was truly in shock when I found out the entire journey that these men were wanted dead in their home country of Yemen. And they had fled to Ecuador, one of the very few countries that doesn't require visas to enter. And being someone from a country like Yemen, right, the Yemeni passport has very little power as to where you can go. Coming to the US was not an option because of the travel ban. And then I learned about their journey that they took from Ecuador, crossing about 6 to 7 countries, going up South America, because they were desperate for safety and stability and wanting a better life. And I think people forget that when they think why people take such drastic journeys. And so over the course of several months, I talked to them almost daily from ICE detention. I was able to speak to them in Arabic. They didn't speak English that well, and talked about their journey and encapsulated that for my investigation that I published a couple months ago. And alhamdulillah, at the end of that investigation, that we had published it, we had shared it widely, and of course, working with a national platform, it was able to get a lot of eyeballs. And then we heard that these two people, who at first they were denied asylum, they were told that they didn't have a credible fear. And this is a crucial step in the immigration process for them to be allowed into the US. And they were facing a possible deportation back home, right back to the country where not only were they facing war, but they had, death threats actively out against them. And then after the publication of our investigation, we heard that those decisions were reversed. And that they were granted new interviews and new chances to prove that they were indeed facing threat and that they were indeed posed no harm to the US and that they were just seeking safety. And a couple of weeks after that, one of the two men was released in the US where he could just be an everyday citizen as he goes on with his case. And our second, Osama, he was granted full asylum and is completely done with his case. And both Osama and Ahmed, the two Yemeni men, are now living in New York where they work and they found a community and they're just, trying to go about their daily lives. So it's been really incredible to watch their story unfold over the last year.
Likewise, and I would have to imagine that those conversations throughout that entire time was just providing them hope, right? And you were giving them an outlet to have their voice heard. And it's really, I think that's the power of journalism as well, is just sharing people's voices and, like you said, finding the human story there. So really phenomenal work that you've been able to do there.
Thank you. And absolutely, I think, these are people who are trapped in a super complex system in a country that they don't know much about. They don't have much family or friends or support networks here. And so I think just having the opportunity to share some of their narratives was incredibly humbling and important. And as a reporter, you never know, right? And oftentimes you're stuck in this limbo or this dance of really hoping that this lands on the right desk to the right email, that it can cause impact and change because sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. And I think it was alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, 100 times over, really incredible to see and I think to witness that their story was one that did have, life-changing impact.
Alhamdulillah. And we talk a lot about representation in the media, and I think your identity being unapologetically Muslim and somebody who leads by their faith, I think you were able to find that relativeness and share that authentic voice. So tell us a little bit more about what your faith and identity mean to you in your profession and kind of how you represent the Muslim community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think being a reporter that covers Islamophobia and social justice issues, it is not the most enlightening of topics. It's definitely a complex one for many reasons. And, for the longest time, I think Muslims around the country and around the world know that the media wasn't the most friendly to them. And it wasn't a matter of Muslims asking for something that was unique. I think they just wanted equity. Because for the longest time, we've seen research after research prove to us that the Muslim representation in media was largely one-dimensional. It was stagnant. It was based off of stereotypes. And we still see that. And so it was incredibly important to me, I think, as, you know, a member of the Muslim community, that I wanted to see that change, not just for my community at large, but for myself and my family and my friends. And so there's definitely that personal tie, which I think can be beautiful. And that's really where my faith comes in and giving me the strength and giving me the motivation to continue to do this work, even when it becomes really daunting and really difficult. You know, I remember times where I was covering, say, a hate crime that had happened to someone, and then, you know, walking out of my newsroom and hopping onto the subway and being faced with something very similar, right? And so I think the lines between my professional and personal life can sometimes get blurred. But I think that's where I really lean into my faith and remembering that concepts like ilm and knowledge is something that is emphasized to us. Concept like justice is a big concept in Islam. And these are the same concepts that I strive for in my professional network and in my job and in my career. Journalism is based on knowledge and learning and research, and it's something that goes hand in hand to what Islam teaches us. So I think I'm really blessed to be in a field where I'm able to identify and work with those intersections.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. And in terms of, you know, what are some projects, you know, obviously election season, but beyond that, like, what are things looking like in 2021 for you?
I think in 2021, one thing that I'm going to look at, in addition, you know, I think with politics, no matter what the outcome, Islamophobia is not a problem that's going to go away, right? Our community is going to continue to face social injustices, whether it's on an institutional level, whether it's on a grassroots level. So continuing to holding people accountable is incredibly important to me. Continue to shedding light on how certain policies and legislations face our everyday communities in whatever shape or way or form that looks like. And I think that's something that's not going to go away. I think, you know, I'd like to say that the day I'm able to say I, you know, am put out of a job is actually going to be a good day, because that means we've solved the problem of the intersectionality of racism, Islamophobia, and xenophobia. But I think it's something that I'm actively going to tackle and talk about and look for equity for Muslims in mainstream media, and being able to have and ensure more diverse coverage of the most diverse faith group in the world. And so these are all things that I'm looking forward to reporting on in 2021.
Well, you know, I think we need dozens, if not hundreds more of Ruedas running around to see their byline in that newspaper. and, you know, I'm really excited for you, and congratulations on this nomination.
Thank you so much. Again, I'm so humbled to accept the nomination and so humbled to be in this field, and really excited for our program next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You know, we'll be hosting you and everyone else at the annual symposium, and event is taking place on Saturday, November 14th. So be sure to find more information on our website. And again, just really looking forward to seeing everything that you're going to do.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Take care.